For all the new people, when I used to say that, man, that is just like, wow. You would clap over tithes and offerings. I thought the church was just trying to get our money from us. And that's how my family was kind of raised, with, you know, our pastor's very afraid to say anything about finances because they thought it might split the church. And then they were just trying to get our hard-earned money. And being raised, I mean, I know everybody probably knows now over all these years, my dad, when I was born, worked for John Wayne, the Duke, in Casa Grande, Arizona. And he, mom, not very long ago when my dad went to heaven, she gave us the books that I think are amazing because my mom, by the way, mom, would you stand up and let them see your pretty hat and honor my mom? Hello. Got to honor your mama. She made good chicken fried steak back when. Maybe she'll do it again. But I'll never forget on that Hereford ranch that John Wayne owned and a producer from Hollywood. They would sell those Hereford cows and bulls. And I'll never forget the amount of money that they would bring in 1969, 68 in that area. I mean, you know, a lawyer in Houston maybe bought one for $40,000, and it was amazing. And my dad's picture was in it, and John Wayne signed some of these books, and mom gave two of them to me, and just one to my brothers, being I'm the favorite. And but anyway, one thing my dad always taught us, not really coming from a lot of money. I mean, you have to understand my testimony of, I mean, my dad and mom, they wanted to buy all of us boys, three of us, and I was the youngest, a car and a horse, you know. My dad always wanted us to have a good horse. But my car was a 1978 Lincoln Town car in high school. Did y'all not hear that? Do I need to say that again as a senior in high school? A 1978 Lincoln Town car, longer than this building. Just saying. All my other friends had Dooleys, and we broke the Guinness Book of World Records one time and put 17 people in that car. And I always wondered, though, going to college, why I had to have a rodeo scholarship, a music scholarship, a student loan, a Pell Grant. I had to have a job. None of my friends did. And then one day I got fed up and I started looking in this Bible. Because again, mom and dad, all the churches that my dad pastored and led the music in all through the years, they never would talk about finances in this book. They was always afraid. Maybe make someone mad. There he goes again, talking about finances. I want you to know this morning, I don't take a salary at this church. God richly blesses us by just trusting him. And that's what we're teaching these people. And I started studying this book, and I found out that 2,036 times it mentions finances in this Bible. And I just started digging into it, and this scripture was one of them right here. Because, see, this is talking about your finances, and I'm sure every one of you have worked hard for your money. You spend hours and hours and hours. But what does the Bible say about it? And here's what it says, because it's a principle that God started from the beginning. But this is found in Luke chapter 6 and verse 33 that says, give, comma, and it shall be given unto you. What? What you gave. In other words, that just doesn't apply to money only, but we're talking about that right now because we're trying to teach people that's how our church operates. We're debt-free. We don't owe anything on this church building. Thank God. But listen, what we're trying to teach, though, is how are you supposed to survive financially, especially when you give to God and you get into that principle of sowing and reaping. So here, the Bible's talking about, we're talking about finances, but what about love? If you give love, that's what will be given back to you. But what about the other side? If you are hateful and you're not very friendly, then that's what you're going to reap. You're not going to have many friends. No one's going to want to be around you. But man, when you sow love and forgiveness and mercy that God gives us. So here it's talking about, we're talking about finances. It says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. That word bosom, when you study it out, man, it was like a big old pouch that women used to carry stuff in. So however big your pouch is, I'd go ahead and get it big. Amen. As men gives unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, it'll be measured unto you again. So the point is once we get our hearts right and we're given to God, then I'm telling you that puts you into a principle called sowing. And if you sow, good farmer. I was just in Odessa, Midland. I mean, they need some rain, y'all. But when we lived in Lubbock and Leveland, those farmers expected a harvest. So when you give to the Lord, expect a harvest. Expect it to be given unto you with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' mighty name. So in this bucket and then that bucket, as Seth comes to get ready to sing, I want you to give with that heart in mind. I'm going to give to the Lord, and I thank God that He'll bless me and He'll get me out of debt and all the things that the Bible says in Jesus' name. So come give with a big old shout of praise. You ready? All right. Hang on. Let's get them. There's your monitor. My sharp man right here. Praise the Lord. You got gum in your mouth? You good? He said, I'm good. Yesterday he was fixing to rope a calf. And I looked at him and he goes, and there was a tooth. And I'm talking, he's fixing to go into the box and he's spitting blood. And so there's a few, show them, you got teeth in there? Because a couple of them come out here the last day or two. It's an honor each year. Seth always loves to sing. That's his heart. I just have to tell you, if you're not friends with us on Facebook, Jamie put it on there because it was the greatest thing that a daddy and a mom could have seen happen at his school when he led two of his friends to the Lord Jesus. And see, that's his heart. His heart is like mine, wants to get people saved. But the funniest part of it is when he was telling me about it, he said, Dad, they wanted to be saved, and so I did the prayer that you pray at the end of the service. And he said, I said, Lord, repeat after me. I open the door of my heart. And those kids just begin to say, I open the door of my heart and I receive Jesus as Lord and forgive me of my sins and those kind of things. And then at the end of it, and he said, all right, when I count to three, if you just gave your life to Jesus, I want you to get your hand up. So they're in class. He said, one, two, three, and both of them just boys shot their old hand up to the glory of God. So I want y'all to welcome Seth as he just sings a special to you guy from his heart. Amen.
life and I have waited, they just pain, but I'm still bleeding. I trust you for certain. Hell says it's not working. I'm stuck here, still hurting, but you tell me you're making a masterpiece. You're shaping the soul in me. You're moving where I can't see, and all I am is in your hand. You're taking me all apart like it was your plan from the start. You finish your work of art. I'm your canvas, beautiful, black and blue, painted in mercy's hue. I don't see past it. You see me now, who will be then? There at the end, staring direct. Your masterpiece, you're shaping the soul in me. You're moving where I. Like it was your plan from the start. You finish your work of art for all to see. You're making a masterpiece. You're making a masterpiece. Making a masterpiece. You're shaping the soul in me. You're moving where I can't see, and all I am is in your hand. You're taking me all apart like it was your plan from the start. You finish your work.
I don't know about y'all, but it takes someone pretty brave to get up here in front of this many people. See? So, glory. All right, with a big round of applause, Kids Church is dismissed out the back end. Amen? They're going to have fun. All the youth, are they going to stay in? All the youth are going out as well? Oh, good. All right, if you're a youth, yeah, London, lead all those kids out. So, if you're a youth, man, you'll have a blast. Go out there and they'll have a good time. About 12 to 18, 13 to 18. So, man, be a part of that. Praise the Lord. A lot of kids. Well, how many brought a Bible? Did you bring a Bible? Hold your Bible up. Let me see them. Trevor, you got a Bible? I like that tie. Glory be to God. We always want people to get used to carrying your word, because that's your source. That's your manual. That's your everything. It's your protection. It has every answer to anything you've ever wanted to ask. It's in there some way. And if you think it's not, then the good news is all you have to do, according to James chapter 1, is just ask God. You need wisdom? He said, ask and I'll give it to you liberally and upbraideth not. And I do that pretty often. I need wisdom. I need to know the direction of this church, the direction of my family. I have in some ways calmed down in my travels to certain things, even though it seems like I'm more busy just trying to be with my family. I understand that God hasn't called me just to stay out there in the ministry and not be a daddy and not be a husband to my wife. By the way, Mama, stand up and let them just see you. I just honor you as my wife and just... That should have got me several brownie points right there. Or in trouble, I don't know. Praise the Lord. I want to minister this morning just a message about the benefits of the resurrection. You know, I could probably go through the tragedy of what happened on the third day before today. I could probably go through the torture. Wow, the torture that Jesus went through for you and me. I could probably go through those so-called priests, those preachers that didn't like him saying that he was the Son of God. I could probably tell you and give you examples of how they slapped him one at a time with the open hand and then buffeted him. The backhand. I probably spend some time, and I have before, about that whip that was designed. It was called the Cat of Nine Tails, and all those nine tails of the whip were really designed to slice Jesus' body. That's why the Bible calls them stripes. By his stripes were healed, because it striped his body. I'd probably go into how his face was not recognizable. I know there's those pictures on our walls that have little drops of blood and that crown on his head. Just little running drops of blood down his cheek. Doesn't compare to what Jesus really went through for you and me. I'd probably talk about him carrying that cross down Golgotha, up to be crucified on that hill. The Bible calls it the hill of Golgotha. Still there today. Now we can probably talk about how he was nailed. Those nails in his palms, and they tied his wrists so that he could stay on that cross. And probably talk about how they put him on top of the hill so everyone could see in those days what it was like to crucify someone. There's a couple of fellows with him that was crucified that day. One of them, thank God, repented and is in heaven. The other one didn't. But this morning, I want to just visit with you just for a second about really the benefits of him being raised from the dead. Because I'm here to tell you this morning, he's not in that tomb. They have searched and searched and searched. Matter of fact, they stood guards around that tomb because prophetically he had declared, I'm going to be raised from the dead. They didn't want some of his people to come and sneak him out of there so that that prophecy would be fulfilled. They stuck those guards there. And as y'all know the story, thank God, that stone was rolled away. Amen. But what are the benefits of really the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And listen to me, if you're not saved in here and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, then today has to be your day to give your life to him. Stop waiting. Stop waiting. There's nothing like having the Savior that we have that gave his life for you and me. I mean, all the benefits of what Jesus did by being raised from the dead are incredible. And they're for you and me. They're for us today. Not just when we get to heaven. I know a lot of people, you know, are praying, well, I'll finally have the peace of God when I get to heaven. No, you don't need it there. You need it here. The Prince of Peace is already there. Jesus is already there. The joy of the Lord is already in heaven. And we don't need it there because it's already there. We need it here. I mean, I need to know that I have the peace of God when things don't go good in my life. I mean, there's times when, you know, like this weekend when I looked at the trailer tires, there's three of them on each side of my trailer. That's a lot of rubber. And the middle one and the back one was low, but the middle one, there was some, I mean, it wasn't really a good-looking tire. I was like, oh, man. And we have to drive home to get to this service in the middle of the night, and I'm Dada. And Dada has to do a lot of things like change tires in the middle of the night. Who's with me, Dads? Now, them women can do it, though, because, I mean, there's times when Jamie's had to change a tire when I'm not there, right? You go, girl. She's like two or three times. Yeah. You know, things just happen. And what are you going to do? Are you going to get in to the defeat mode? Are you going to be the victim all the time? Or are you going to get up, turn yourself around, shake the dust off, and start over again sometimes? Yeah, I don't know what's going on in each individual life in this building or watching. But one thing I do know is there's a benefit of what Jesus did by being raised from the dead and being alive, seated again at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says really that he's praying for you and I. He's interceding. He uses that word intercede, man. When you study out that word intercede, ooh, Jesus. I'm talking about the deep parts of that prayer life. They do it every morning at this church on Sunday mornings. As they're praying for all of us. They're praying for me that I can deliver this message with integrity and with power and with understanding and so on. And I love that. So there's something about then Jesus doing that for you and I constantly, praying to the Father on your behalf. Not just as the group of Christians, but no, you, Doris, individually. You, Mary, individually. God bless her, sir. That's what Jesus is saying, man. You individually, Mr. Byer. Troy, I mean you individually. Jesus is praying for you. You teachers, he's praying for you individually. Things like don't beat those kids. Don't kill them. But you see, there's benefits. And I want to go through just about five of the benefits that I pray will be a blessing to your life and that you really understand the true meaning of the resurrection of Jesus. And I know those kids are going to have fun, you know, looking for Easter eggs. When I was young, man, we would paint and boil those eggs. And, I mean, we had a blast. And that's what I put on Facebook, that it was kind of a tradition thing, you know, for mom to and dad to go buy us a suit, or mom told me yesterday, I made a lot of them. And they would, you know, make dad a suit and us boys a suit and, you know, just whatever it took. And it was a big thing, you know. And I want to carry on that. I'm not real big in traditional things because usually that runs into religion, you know, where great mama did it and grandmama did it and mama did it. Well, what if the Spirit of God says to do it different? What if he says to go around that wall 7 times and you only want to go around 1 time? No, you trust God in whatever you do. Here's the very first benefit that I believe will be a blessing to us as we understand, and this is found if you have a Bible in Romans. If you'll begin to turn there, you'll go to the Gospels and then just keep going right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll go to Acts and then eventually you'll find Romans if you'll keep going to the right. And turn to chapter 6. And I want you to look just for a second at verse 9. And then I'll tell you what number 1 is. Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Say oh me if you're still looking. Did I hear any old me's? Oh, good. Y'all are fast. Or you're scared one. Look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. The very first benefit that I want you to see this morning is that Jesus will never die again. In other words, he's already done it. He's already done everything that he's going to do. A lot of people pray, oh Lord, please. And they scream up to heaven as if God really can't hear you. Or if he's so far up there that, you know, I need to scream a little bit louder. But yet, God is right here. He's right here. The Bible says he never will leave you or forsake you. I tell a lot of people, man, you don't have to change your voice. You don't have to use the these, thous, and thuses to pray to God. Just talk how you normally talk. Just leave out the cuss words. Just talk to him saying things like, God, I need some help here. I need some wisdom. I need direction. I need healing. But you see, when you're talking about these kind of things, you need to understand that Jesus has already died for it. That's why the Bible declares in 2 Peter, in the Old Testament, that by his stripes you are healed. Why don't we just believe that? Why don't we stop waiting for the manifestation of healing before we actually put the faith behind it? Because see, it takes faith to be a Christian. That's why Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In cowboy terms, that's simply believing in something before you see it. We believe in God, but how many of you can literally see God in the physical? Not a one of you. We see the results of him everywhere. I see you. He made you in the image of him, in his likeness, the Bible says. I can see the trees, his creation in that way. But I can't see him, God the Father, in the flesh. Why? Well, because he's in heaven. I then have to have faith that he's real. There's a guy making fun of some friends of mine. I didn't even know it. I saw him talking to this guy, and we were at a minister's conference. And he just is running off just laughing. He's an older man from Texas A&M school. That's where he went to college, they said. And man, he just laughing. And found out that those two ministers had graduated from Texas A&M. And I didn't know what was going on. And I asked him after, what's that guy laughing for? And he said, oh, he was making fun of us. He was saying things like, oh, y'all really believe in that big flood thing. And they didn't have much to say. Boy, and I got to thinking about it because I'm so ready. I'm so ready. And they were saying Texas A&M didn't, you know, make y'all agnostic. I mean, that school should have made y'all not believe in anything. And I got to thinking, how stupid is that? You're making fun of me for by faith believing in a God, maybe that I cannot see, but I just trust that he's there, man. That he created the heaven and the earth. And you as an agnostic are actually believing that nothing made something? You're really believing that nothing, I don't believe in nothing, nothing created this? You see, Jesus does not have to die again for your salvation, for your healing, for your redemption, for all the benefits of God. No, he did it one time, and thank God when he did it, he is now seated at the right hand of the Father because he was raised from the dead. Now, by faith, you've got to believe that. Because if you don't believe it, you don't believe the true power of God. That's why we're celebrating this day, because of his resurrection and that power, that he does not have to die again for your sin. He already did it once, and you just receive that by faith in Jesus' name. So we don't have to have crosses with Jesus on it any longer, because he is not on that cross and he is not in that tomb. The benefit is that he doesn't have to die over and over and over and over for my sin. He's already done it. So when you come to the altar to pray, and you're going to the cross, what we call, it's not to put Jesus back up on that cross. It's just to recognize the benefit of him dying and being raised from the dead. And why don't you just begin to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, that I have victory over this trial and tribulation. Glory be to God. Number two, the second benefit that I want you to see is just to your right in 1 Corinthians. Just go to your right, 1 Corinthians, and turn to chapter 15. Look at this real fast. The second benefit of the resurrection is forgiveness of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. I like the Amplified because it really amplifies it and helps you understand it a little bit better, because it literally says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is a mere delusion, fruitless, and you are still in your sin, under the control of the penalty of sin. If Jesus had not been crucified, there would be no forgiveness. There's a benefit from us, especially me in college. I mean, I don't have time to tell you my testimony, but I'll just tell you one thing. The party was at my house. You see Seth here? He has got a personality. Well, that's me. Because, I mean, I like to have fun. I just didn't know how to manage that fun in a good way. And so for 2 years, and let alone my dad being a pastor since 1970, the ministry was how I was raised. Just a year prior in college, I was leading Bible study in my dorm room. All those kids that had relationship problems came to me for some help and guidance and prayer or whatever. And then just some circumstances, some trials and tribulations that happened to me, 2 years I walked away from the Lord. And the party was at 605 Runnels in Big Spring, Texas. I'll never forget that address. It was a pier and beam house. Anybody understand that? No, really no foundation, man. Just, I mean, you can look under that. And we did one time when we was having a party. And there seemed to be 100 people in there. And that thing was so bowed. I was like, oh my gosh, that thing could just cave in immediately. But there was a time when I had to get on my knees about 2 years after that, and I said, God, I am so sorry. I know better. I know better. I know better, sir. Please forgive me. Right when I said, forgive me, The Bible declares that not only did God forgive me, he threw that sin that I had committed for 2 years into the sea of forgetfulness. And the Bible declares that he remembers it no more as far as the east is to the west. I don't know about y'all, but that's a pretty good benefit for a believer in Jesus Christ, that when we do mess up, there's forgiveness. That is a benefit of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not that you can continue to sin and do those things. No. When you repent, you turn away from that sin and quit doing it. But thank God there at least is the mercy and the forgiveness and the grace that God has for us by him dying for that sin. So here the Bible is declaring that if Jesus had not been crucified, we would remain in that sin. That sin nature that Adam and Eve started in the garden, remember, when they disobeyed God. We would still be in that nature, that's just part of life. Now, I realize, to be honest, a lot of Christians still live in that nature, and they shouldn't. They say things like, well, you know, brother, we all fall short of the glory of God. And all that really means is they're trying to justify them living in sin in some way. No, don't do that. Because really, Jesus died so that you can get freed from that sin. That sin does not have to have dominion over you, just like it doesn't have dominion over Jesus any longer. You can say yes to God. You can also say no to him. You can say yes to sin, and you can say no to it. Why? Because you got the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you if you're born again. You don't have to say yes to drugs any longer. No. If you understand the power that lives on the inside of you, that drug, that sin, that alcohol, whatever it is, it doesn't have to control you any longer. Why? Because you can be set free because of the benefit of the resurrection of Jesus of forgiveness of sin. I don't know about you, but that ought to make an Episcopalian shout right there. I mean, that's good news to me, because I then, even though the devil reminds me of my past, I can look to the word where it declares, oh, no, don't look back. Don't look at the past, look at the future. Press forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. No, don't start dwelling back when, you know, you're not worthy. I heard that all growing up, y'all. I'm telling you, that is not biblical. Before Christ, we're not worthy. But after Jesus came into my life, I am now worthy to be called a son of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ and an heir with God. You see, we just don't think of ourselves as really knowing and being who we really are in Christ Jesus, because we've never known the benefit of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, thank God for forgiveness. So the next time the devil tries to remind you of your sin, why don't you tell him that sin does not have any dominion or power over you because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Amen. Why don't you tell the devil, no, that was the old me. That was, even though I was saved going to heaven if I died, that was the old me. I am not that person any longer. I am a new man in Christ Jesus, and it's all because of the blood of Jesus and his resurrection. Man, thank God for that, y'all. Because then the devil doesn't have to try to condemn us any longer. Oh, he'll try. He'll try to bring guilt and condemnation, but that's not our God. Our God is not a God of guilt and condemnation. He's a God of grace and mercy and forgiveness, all because of the benefits of him being raised from the dead. Amen. Gosh. All right, look at number three real fast. The third benefit that I want you to see is that we have then protection, God's protection and his fellowship. Look at just to your left real fast in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, turn with me there, because I want you to see the benefit of what Jesus really did. Matthew chapter 28 and look at verse 20. Teaching them, Jesus is talking, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this world. God's always going to have fellowship with you. He says, I'll never leave you and forsake you, as I declared earlier. But God also has protection. You start studying Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, I need that protection, especially being a minister of Jesus Christ, because the devil does not like me. But he doesn't like you being a Christian, because us Christians, we're supposed to do something in the kingdom. I mean, that's why the Ephesians literally tells us that the pastor and the evangelist and the prophet and the apostle and the teacher, all those five are for the perfecting of the saints. You, if you're saved, are the saints. What does it say perfecting the saints to do? The work of the ministry. So my job as a pastor is to teach all of you that come to this church or that would dare listen to me, you are to be taught to do the work of the ministry. Y'all's ministry is those kids at school. All you teachers in here, that's a ministry, man. Why? Well, because God has enabled you through education and through just that grace to speak into the lives of a young person. So do it with integrity. I mean, that might be a ministry to those children through you. Some of you may just need to be an encourager at your job, a very negative place maybe. And someone's got to be able to speak life and not death. I mean, some of you may be in a position of influence that may be your ministry. There are some of you that just have a gift of going and laying hands on people, as Mark chapter 16 says. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Do you understand that I, as a pastor, don't have time to go to the hospitals constantly? There's not enough of me. But man, why don't you go? Why don't you go? You see, God wants to protect you because there are going to be trials and tribulations. We're not exempt from that. But the word says, count it all joy, brother. When we go through, say through, when we go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Why don't we get on through those trials and tribulations, knowing and understanding that the benefit of the resurrection of Jesus is that we have protection by being under the shadow of the Almighty, dwelling in his secret place. You know, I'm reminded when I think about this is of and it's so funny when you look on the internet or on Facebook and you see those, I don't know if y'all seen it, it's been on my feed, but just a mother hen, a chicken chasing people. Has anybody seen that on Facebook? I mean, I'm talking, you got to run for your life from some of those chickens. I mean, they're mean. And they're, those old 15 chicks that they might have or 10, they put them under their wings. Boy, don't mess them up. I mean, kind of like some of you mamas. I mean, and I believe this, I'm telling you, this has got to be the truth. I haven't said this in a long time, but I believe it's true. I believe men are like dogs and women are like cats. I'm serious. Because you know an old dog. I mean, they'll just come in, you know, pet. But I'm telling you, you can't touch a cat until a cat's ready. Am I right, fellas? Oh, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, you mess with a mama's kid, and the claws come out. Ding, 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 ding. I will kill you and make you like it. I always say, though, if you kill me, raise me from the dead, because I've got a lot of work to do still. But man, when you're under the protection of God Almighty, oh, Jesus. I'm talking about, man, when you don't have no fear. Oh, thank you, God. And I mean all hell is breaking loose around you. Man, I'm telling you, we need that protection today more than anything. That's a benefit of the resurrection of Jesus, his protection and his fellowship with you. Not only will he protect you, man, he'll just say, hey, come dine with me. Come here, man. You ever just been alone and talking to God and you get those goosebumps? Man, if you haven't, you need to spend some time with him. Because when the Spirit of God comes in your life and just wants to fellowship with you, oh, man, that's the most awesome time of our life. Well, we don't have time for that because we got to go work. Our kids are keeping us busy. We got baseball and we got football and we've got basketball and we've got rodeo and we've got this and we've got that. And I don't have time to feel the presence of God. Yes, you need to make time, man. Because that's a benefit of the Spirit of God being raised from the dead. Just knowing God can protect you and has fellowship with you. Number four. The fourth benefit that I want to just let you know about that I believe is talked about in this Bible is salvation from future wrath. Real fast, and if you don't want to spend the time to look at it, at least write it down, because it's found in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, and it's the very first chapter of Thessalonians. And let me just read it to you. Verse 10. 1 Thessalonians, verse 10. It says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm telling you, look at me, everybody. I'm telling you as plainly as I can tell you, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, this is Romans 10:9, this is John 14. Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe that God raised him from the dead, that's what we're celebrating. Thou shalt be, say it with me, believers, saved. Saved from what? Hell. Wrath. The wrath to come. If Jesus is your Lord, when you stand before God Almighty, and it's going to happen, you can fight it, you cannot believe it, it's going to happen according to this Bible, not this preacher. Because what I say doesn't mean anything. But what it says is the truth. And you can choose to believe it or not. It's up to you. But I say in Jesus' name, since the Spirit of God is what draws all men unto him, I say open up your heart and just start by faith receiving the Bible. Because when you stand before God with Jesus as your Lord, Jesus being on the side of the Father with this book called the Book of Life, he's going to declare one of two things to you. If Jesus is Lord, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the devil's not going to be coming in with a bunch of thoughts of, yeah, but you didn't do anything. You never prayed. You never. No, no. If Jesus is your Lord, he's going to declare, well done. Come on into the joy of the Lord, the rest of the Lord. Yeah, but they didn't act too saved, preacher. Yeah, we're not moved by what we see, feel, hear, taste, and touch, all the five physical senses. There's a whole lot of people, but you'd probably have a lot of doubt if they're really born again. But don't you ever judge a man's heart or a woman's heart. Because if they confess Jesus as Lord, I'm not going to say they're not saved. Mm-mm. I don't judge their heart. I can look at their fruits, and they may not be inheriting the kingdom of God, but listen to me real carefully. The kingdom of God and the place of heaven is two different things. The kingdom of God is a method on how we're supposed to live here like heaven. That's the method that we're to have the peace of God here, the joy of the Lord here. People get this all confused. Oh, Jesus. if I mess up, I might go to hell. Oh man, we'd all be there. Because the Bible says anything that's not of faith is sin. I mean, you ever get in fear in any way? And I'm here to tell you, this church is not a snake handling church, but you bring a snake in here, I'm gone. I'm going to get that shotgun somewhere. And if you still have it in your hand, you're getting shot too. It's going down. Because me and snakes, we don't get along. Is anybody in here agreeing with me? I don't like snakes. So if I happen to just get in just a tad bit of fear before I said, God, forgive me, I'm here to tell you, I'm still busting heaven wide open. And that snake is not going to be with me. It's dead. You won't inherit the kingdom. What is that? The peace of God. You won't have peace. You'll try to find it in a bottle, in drugs, in all the junk of the world. You won't inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't have anything to do with the place of heaven. And people get that way messed up. Man, there's even denominations that have started up because of just wrong teaching. No, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're going to be saved from the wrath of hell. Oh, I'd clap too, man. Because you don't want to go there. That is a hot place. Have you ever studied hell? The Bible says you'll beg forever and ever and ever and ever and ever for a drop of water on your tongue. Mm-mm. That's why I travel so much. And my church sometimes gets a little upset that their pastor's gone. And just understand, I don't want anybody going to a place called hell. But if you choose not to receive Jesus as Lord and you don't understand this benefit, then there's going to be wrath. Please don't choose that. The last one and I'll close. The fifth benefit of the resurrection is our own resurrection from the dead. Real fast, 2 Corinthians, and I'm gonna try to go as fast as I can to get those kids having a little bit of fun with some eggs, but I want you to receive this now, because listen to me. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 14 says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up by Jesus and shall present us with you. Here's what this means. That if Jesus is the Lord of your life, there's nothing that then can keep you down. Nothing. Not sickness, not disease, not bad relationships. Nothing can keep you down from the love of God. There's not any sin. Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, all of us that believe in him are raised with him. In other words, we have all the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have all the things that he conquered. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He conquered temptation that's evil. He conquered suicide because he had those thoughts just like a human. He was 100% man, even though he was 100% God. He had all the thoughts that you and I deal with constantly, and he defeated all of them. That's why that devil was trying to get him to jump off the cliff, to make, you know, stone into bread and bread into stone or whatever. I mean, he was constantly trying to make Jesus demonstrate his true power in that day. No, he don't even have to demonstrate it. Really, you and I have to demonstrate it. You and I need to see the manifestations of believing by his stripes we're healed. When the doctor tells you you only have 6 months to live, who are you going to believe more? What the Word of God says, or what an awesome educated doctor says? No, I would, this, even though my family on my dad's side are doctors, I would rather believe this than what they say. Say amen to that, y'all. And I'm not saying it's not a fact that you were diagnosed with something like I was years ago with Crohn's. I just decided to believe this Bible more than the fact that I was diagnosed with Crohn's. And the doctor told me I'd have to take medicine for the rest of my life. Probably someone in here dealing with this stuff right now. You're dealing with digestive problems. You're dealing with, cramping problems. The eating of food that's, that just messes your stomach up. Listen to me. You don't have to receive that as final authority. All you got to do is start believing this Bible, which is the truth of God. And when you believe it, all things are possible to him that believes. When you believe it by faith, the truth of the Word of God overrides the fact of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, you'll be healed just like I was. I've not taken one pill in 20 years, y'all. They told me I have to take pills for the rest of my life. It's a disease that's not curable, but it's manageable, son. I said, no, sir, don't receive that. In other words, I never took possession of it. I never declared out of my mouth, because there's power in this tongue, y'all. I never declared, well, I've got it, because the doctor said so. I had enough of the Word of God on the inside of me that I said, I don't receive that. The doctor thought I was crazy. The nurses probably thought I was a fanatical Christian. That's fine with me. That is fine with me. Because I'm not letting a disease called Crohn's ruin my life. They told me I'd never ride a horse again. Yo, mama. What? That's the devil himself to tell me that. Don't tell a cowboy that. I rode the next day. Well, maybe not the next day, but it was close. The point is, y'all, listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is powerful. And it means something to us believers. No, it's just not, oh, go to church, feel good, go out there and get beat up. No, this is a lifestyle how we're supposed to live. Matter of fact, all you once a year people, you need to start getting here every day, every Sunday. Don't throw a tomato at me. I'm saying stop making Christianity once a year thing. This is a lifestyle of a believer in Jesus Christ. Yeah, maybe you are tired on Sunday, but I'm here to tell you, if you get up and be the man of your family and get your family here, God will give you supernatural rest, man. I'm telling you, your business will start going smoother in Jesus' name. All of y'all that used to be fired up one time, you was here all the time. No, get your butts back here. Can I say button? My bad. Get your Dairy Aerith heareth. Because I'm here to tell you, when you stand before God, and you will, you're going to give account. There's not going to be wrath, thank God, but there's going to be an account. Why didn't you become the man that I created you to be, boy? That's why we have so much problems, guys. Come on, stop allowing the women to be the man of the house. That's the we live close enough to Austin, y'all. They have got that screwed up where men have become women and women have become men. Y'all, it is not godly. Let's allow a man to be a man. Y'all may preach. And allow women to not have all that stuff on them. They was not designed to be a man. My mind went several directions right there. I mean, I was thinking cross-dressing, and I was, oh, my Lord, I mean, my mind, so anyway. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? I mean, we love people no matter what. We're not against a person. But by golly, let's allow men to be men and women to be women. And I'm here to tell you, stop, don't clap yet. We're different. We're different, y'all. I don't understand that woman half the time. And I can promise you she don't understand me. But man, once we get together, not this way, but this way, then we start becoming husband and wife and she starts asking me to forgive her. I mean, that was funny, wasn't it? Mom, I'm only kidding. That was a joke. Come on, y'all. Start having fun in church. Yeah, we make a lot of mistakes, y'all. But thank God for his mercy and grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. And none of y'all know what happens when we get home. The bruises are all hidden. Ah, protect me, man. Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you. We serve you, a fun God. And this is not a boring lifestyle. No, you, man, there's resurrection power in Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we celebrate Easter, we don't have to just do it once a year. We can do it every single day. Thank you, thank you, thank you for dying for me. I declare in Jesus' name, if there's people here that's never given their lives to you, sir, that as we've already declared the word, you draw them. I can't say the right words perfectly for them to give their life to you. I can just set it before them. That's Deuteronomy. Life and death, blessing and cursing. You set it before them, and then they are going to have to pick life, blessing, or they can choose death and cursing. God, if there's anyone in here that just has been struggling with the belief of you as God, set them free right now in Jesus' name. Cause them just to open up their heart and just have faith, man. Believe that they would believe in you. Father, if there's people hurting, there's a mama watching that is struggling right now with their child. They've declared that it may die. God, I speak healing over that baby in Jesus' name. I speak peace over that mama that's watching right now. All the ones that might be here that have needs, they need prayer. In some way, sir, I ask you to meet that need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever the need is, if it's emotional healing, if it's physical, whatever it might be, you, sir, sent Jesus to die for it. And Jesus conquered it so that you, all of us here, can have victory. We can have victory in you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you might be watching us. You might be right here. And the question is Jesus your Lord? In other words, if you stood before God, and it's true, this Bible stuff is really true, and you were standing before God, do you know what God will say? Will he say, come on into heaven because you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you confessed him as Lord? Or will he say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you? My desire is that he'll say, come on into heaven, the joy, the rest, R-E-S-T, of the Lord. I don't want anybody going to that place called hell. And you cannot play cards with your buddies in hell. I've heard it all, y'all. I just play cards. No, it's isolation. It's terrible, golly. Please don't choose that. But again, I can't make you. No preacher can make you give your life to Jesus. All I can do is set it before you. So what I'm going to do here is, if there's anybody in this place or watching, and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want you to do that right now by praying a prayer. The reason I pray the prayer is because I'm helping you. I'm leading you in the prayer. But you got to pray it yourself. I can't make you. I'm just going to help you know how to give your life to Jesus. And what I'm going to pray is Romans 10, verse 9. We're going to confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord. And then when you pray it, believe it, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you'll be saved. You'll have that helmet of salvation on, thank God. And then we'll help you get the rest of the armor on you, the breastplate of righteousness, and those kind of things. But it starts with salvation. Are you saved or not? Is Jesus your Lord or not? If you don't know, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer with me. But I'm also going to have the believers in here pray this prayer with you. So we'll just pray it together. If you're a believer and you've never led someone to Jesus like my little boy did, if you'll learn this prayer, God will open the door for someone in your family, a friend, a co-worker, someone. He'll open the door for you to lead them to Jesus. And when you pray this prayer, it helps you learn the prayer. So that's why I have all the believers pray it with me. But if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then when you pray it, you're asking Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord, okay? So I'm going to pray that prayer. When I pray it, you pray it after me. And again, believers, just pray it as well. But if you're not a believer, pray this prayer right now and ask Jesus to come into your life. And I'll just lead you to it in Jesus' name. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. And if you're watching, say it as well. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I ask you, Jesus Christ, to come into my life and save me. I believe that you have been raised from the dead. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord, my Savior, my friend. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, real fast, if you just prayed that prayer, the reason I have you acknowledge that you prayed that prayer is because the Word says, the Bible declares that if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus said, I'll confess you before the Father. In other words, don't ever be afraid to let people know that Jesus is your Lord, okay? But if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus Christ this morning, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up, and all you're doing when you raise it up is you're saying, God, I meant that prayer. I asked Jesus Christ, your Son, to come into my life and save me. And I just want to thank you that I did it and I meant it. And that's what you're doing by raising your hand. And then just put your hand right back down. Amen. If you just gave Jesus your life and you prayed that prayer, I want you to, at three, get that hand up and then just put it right back down. In Jesus' name, you ready? One, with every bit of boldness, in the name of Jesus Christ. Two, three, go. Thank you, brother. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. I want to give you a Bible. And there were so many people that raised their hand. Make sure you get a Bible. It doesn't mean anything, but just gives us a record. Just send him a Bible right there. Thank you, Lord. Just hand that right there. Thank you. Anybody else, if you raised your hand and didn't get a Bible, just no one's looking around, just raise it up one more time. Let us see it. And just, I want to get a Bible to you. One over there. Thank you. Anybody else? The reason I'm giving you a Bible is that's how you get started. Get the Word, man. And we'll help you learn it. Or if you live somewhere else, then find a good Bible-believing church. Look at me, everybody. There were several people that gave their lives to the Lord. Now listen. Let me tell you what that means. That now you're our brother or sister in Christ. We're in the family of God. I don't know about you, but I need help. I need you praying for me. I need you building me up. But you'll also have me doing that to you or your brothers and sisters that you know, man. There's times when we just got to say, hey, man, I'm hurting. And then our job is not to put that on Facebook. Anybody out there? Our job is to say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you and keep it quiet. It's between us. And be a friend, man. But there's also a time when you got to tell them the truth. The truth is to say, that road is not good for you. Get off of that road and get on this road, the Word of God. Amen. Did y'all have a good time this morning? Now listen, the kids are fixing to have a good time, and they're probably hiding all the eggs. They've already done it. So moms and dads, go out there as soon as I say amen. But I also want you to remember real fast, in about 3 weeks, the 19th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd is our rodeo right here. That's the big Liberty Hill Open Rodeo and Ron Ross Memorial Steer Roping. We...